Hey everyone out there, and thanks again for joining us here at ASAP Nowcast, the podcast for ASAP Now. For those of us just joining us, you kind of know what we do. We feature either something from the magazine or some special podcast-only content to give a little more in-depth coverage directly to you. Now, this month I wanted to do something that was podcast-only and a little bit different because it's about career development. Now, I kind of chuckle a little bit because I remember having a conversation with one of my nocturnist friends where I asked him, you know, what would happen if he took a year off and did a sabbatical and took some time for family. And his commentary to me was, yeah, I would just come back. He's like, what are they going to do? Like, not promote me from my title of nocturnist back to nocturnist when I come back? And I thought that was an interesting comment because from a shift perspective, I do somewhat agree that we don't think of climbing the quote unquote corporate ladder very often, but we do certainly work as teams a lot, like every single day, every single patient. And when it comes to career development, most of us went through something very prescriptive because that's what training is. You go from college to medical school to residency to maybe fellowship. And then after that, it's not so prescriptive. It's really open. And, you know, some of us will bounce around different jobs and different hospitals, but it's not like the corporate world works. So while self-help and corporate climbing isn't something ER doctors may think of commonly, although obviously leadership, admin, niche careers like ultrasound, talks, etc., may find these concepts a little bit more common, academics, it would probably be better for us both personally and for our specialty if we did kind of consider what is leadership as a physician. So our feature this month is actually a book by two of our ASAP leaders, Dr. Adara Landry and Dr. Risa Lewis, with their book on microskills. So check it out. I found it really interesting from a personal perspective, also a shift perspective, also for my own personal administrative perspective, which is my day job. And I'm hoping you guys all find something that's a takeaway as well. Hey everyone at ASAP Now, thanks again for joining us. And we have two very special guests here, both ASAP members and, as we were just chatting, strong women in emergency medicine with a new project I wanted to help feature on the podcast this month. So we have Dr. Risa Lewis, who has been really involved with the ASAP ultrasound section and also is a professor of emergency medicine at UAB, as well as very involved with TEDMed as a speaker, Times Up Healthcare, FemmeM, multiple other emergency medicine women-centric organizations. We also have with her partner in crime, Dr. Adara Landry, who is the assistant professor at Harvard Medical School and equally decorated in both speaking and writing, here to talk about a very cool book that they just wrote, which is called Microskills, Small Actions, Big Impact. So Adara and Risa, I wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy days, as I'm emphasized by all the things I read about in the book, to chat with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
It is wonderful to be here with you.
I wanted to get started. We don't feature every book written by ASAP members or emergency medicine physicians, but we do try to feature really relevant ones. And the tagline of this book is, buy this book on Friday, be better at your job on Monday. Now, extrapolated to emergency medicine, I think it's buy this book on Tuesday, be better at your night shift by Thursday. But I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to tell the story of just what is this book? Because it was actually really interesting to see it from ER doctors for me.
This book came about a few years ago. I mean, it takes a long time to write a book. And it started really, the journey started with just conversations between Risa and I when I was applying for fellowship. I was interested in moving to Boston, and someone connected me to Risa. And this really speaks to the power of a connection and having a network, because they were able to introduce me to someone like Risa, who was very established and wise about emergency medicine. And so we had an initial phone call and a few phone calls after that. And then there was this more central phone call where we were talking about my journey, developing mentorship skills, being a mentor, and helping others. And at some point in the conversation, I asked Risa about, you know, creating a career as a mentor and sort of building my brand that way. And Risa was very encouraging. And when we ended the call, she actually offered something which was really monumental for me, which was, if you ever want to write together, let me know. And I'm sure both of you and others listening to this call have had these moments where someone says something to you like, if you ever want to do this, reach out, or, you know, call me if you ever want to work together. And you sort of take the offer and maybe put it in a desk and never think about it again. But and so in this case, I actually did take Risa's offer, and we started writing about mentorship, and we got pieces in academic journals as well as in more like the lay business audience. And from there, we wrote many more articles together. And I think when it comes to starting the book, it just felt like for me, the natural next step, because you were writing all these articles together and Risa is a really great writer and editor. I just kept thinking, what is the next big step that we can take together? And so a book just was something I was really eager to jump into doing, and it made sense to do that with Risa.
Yeah, and that is no small feat, as you guys mentioned. It's funny, as you're telling the story, you actually mention, I think, some of the takeaways I had reading your book, like, you know, things like networking, like you discussed, like, you know, developing your skill set and applying it to different opportunities. So I want to give you guys, you know, a chance to explain, like, what are micro skills? Like, what is the kind of elevator pitch, if you will, of the book? And, you know, Risa or Adara, either one of you, I'd love to hear that.
Micro skills are a bit of what they sound like. These are small fundamental building blocks. When we at work encounter huge projects, overwhelming tasks, something that we're avoiding because it just seems too monumental to overcome or to even chip away at, we want the reader to think about breaking things down into small steps, small action items. And we start the book with three fundamental truths. And Amy, you alluded to this with our tagline about buy this on a Friday, be better at your job on a Monday, and extrapolated to emergency medicine, buy this one day and two evenings later before your overnight shift, you'll be better at work. And that goes to the concept of time as currency. Now, writing is currency in academic medicine, particularly getting things published. That's a currency in terms of establishing, for example, subject matter expertise. Another currency we're all familiar with, of course, is money. In our book, we talk about the currency of time, that time can only be spent. You can't put it into a savings account. You can't get a refund on your time. So we really encourage the reader to be intentional about how they spend their time, with whom they spend their time. And to that end, we wrote a book that we think is a really efficient read. Yes, we want people to read it cover to cover. And also, you don't have to read it cover to cover. We created a very granular, detailed table of contents so the reader can flip to the part of the book that might be relevant or something they want to just-in-time reading, just-in-time education, learn about. Two other truths I'll mention. We don't start at the same place when it comes to medical school, when it comes to residency, when it comes to our first jobs. The world is not equal. And with that, we are referencing and acknowledging that everybody doesn't have the same, as I said, starting line, starting point. We all have different family backgrounds, inherited wealth, assets, resources, pedigrees, networks, knowledge. And so with this book, we try to level set with these micro skills so that the workplace is not so uneven, and we do create access and belonging. And then finally, we really call out learning, growth mindset. We think learning is limitless as long as you have access. And we really, again, call attention to that access. Everybody doesn't have the same access. You know, famously, there's something known as the second shift, and that refers to those of us that have a full-time job by day, and then we go home at night, and there's a whole second shift, a whole second job, be that young children, be that elder parents, be that another job that you're working for income or to pay off loans. And so, yeah, sure, learning is limitless, but you have access time-wise, financially, et cetera. So we set that as our introduction as our foundation. We actually circle back to that at the end because we really want to acknowledge for the reader that we get it. We see you. Not every workplace seems to be welcoming and allow you to belong. So if you've ever had that experience of not belonging or not getting a copy of what we call the workplace playbook, we want you to read this book. And this will sort of be a good primer.
Yeah, and I like how you say that. This is the workplace playbook. But in a lot of ways, I think it's also the life playbook. Like, I think you guys wrote this book actually in a really interesting structure, which is I saw it as clinical vignettes because that's how case books maybe when we were studying for like step one was like it started with a case and it talked through it. But you guys actually start with a life or work vignette and then discuss kind of the take home in each chapter. And I love that. So I wanted to hear your thoughts about when we think, business productivity, a lot of people think the 9-to-5 corporate office job, which applies to some of our doctors, mostly because they have like administrative blends or something, but it doesn't necessarily cross over as intuitively, I think, to like shift life. So what are some of the things that you guys feel like in micro skills are things that you can take away with you as, the true classic shift worker?
Oh, wow. There are so many micro skills related to just shift work in itself that maybe aren't labeled around the term shift work, but speak to self-care. When we were writing this book, we... there's 10 chapters within the book, and within each chapter, there are 7 to 10 micro skills. And initially, when we were creating the book, we actually, I think, started off with like micro skills for communication. But over time, as we were needing the drafts, it felt like we really wanted people to focus on the self and how they protect their own health, mental health, physical health, financial health. And so it made sense to open the book actually with a chapter on micro skills for self-care. And within that chapter, we talk about the need to nourish relationships with people you trust, the need to protect your sleep and be a great sleeper. And I think that is probably the most important thing for those of us in the emergency room who neglect sleep and rest, deliberate rest. We also talk about things like personal hygiene and financial health. And we bring that in because, we've seen folks in the emergency room, outside of the emergency room, who can really dedicate so much of their time to work that they forget to actually take care of themselves, take a shower, go see a doctor, clean their clothes, right? And our job is, as authors of this book, is not to be like fashion police. We're not really making light of the situation, but we really want people to understand how important it is to invest in themselves. And once they're able to do that, then they're in a better position to take care of the team. And once the team feels healthy and sound, then I think they're in the best position to take care of the work. And so I think thinking about our job in the emergency department, yes, we want to make sure that we're the best doctor, but we also really want a great team dynamic. So we talk a lot about communication with teams and making sure that we're not making assumptions about other people and that we're being direct with our language and how to give feedback, how to receive feedback. All of that's very important for healthy team dynamics. And then we talk about work, like how do we actually prioritize the tasks that are on our to-do list? How do we triage what needs to be done now versus later, for instance? We talk a lot about using expertise in one area and carrying that over to another, right? So Risa and I have both worked clinically and we understand time management, task management. We use those same skills in how we write this book and delegating tasks to each other. And so understanding that the skills you have on your shift are very much translatable to other areas of, any workplace, whether it be in the same industry or elsewhere. And so, to your earlier point about two doctors writing this book, thank you for calling that out because a lot of folks assume that all books about business, self-care, career development, and these like nonfiction book categories need to be written by C-suite executives, folks who have made it up to, being a CEO or vice president of some big firm. But that's actually not the case. Risa and I are physicians, but we're also educators and we love career development. We love mentorship. and we love writing. And so it really comes together perfectly in terms of writing a book that is geared towards taking care of our human needs while also focusing on developing our career. And so we are really preaching this idea of success without self-sacrifice.
I love that, especially because of all the wellness discussions that we have in emergency medicine. Like, you know, it's so important. I think you hit that home really well. And sorry, go ahead, Risa. I cut you off.
I want to say I really like that you highlighted these vignettes, and you're spot on. You know, we all know that as writers and as speakers, there's value in storytelling, but not just telling a story for the sake of telling a story. These are intentional stories. And yes, many come from emergency medicine. They come from the workplace, partially because that's the lens Adair and I come from. And in addition, we did have an editor from our publishing company. We did have an editor from our publishing house who specifically said, listen, if I mess up, you know, maybe we miss a timeline, but if you mess up, the consequences are way different and we want to hear your stories. And so Adair and I illustrate each micro skill with a story, and yet we wrote them. You don't have to be a physician. You don't even have to be in healthcare. We really wrote them from the perspective of illustrating the micro skill. And after we tell that story, we then spend a bit of time explaining to the reader why the micro skill is important and why they should consider integrating this, adopting this skill. Then there's the humanizing part where we say, listen, we understand why this is hard. We actually say why the micro skill might be hard, might be uncomfortable, might not feel natural. And then we end, and this part is pretty illustrative of why we're, you can see we're emergency physicians, we use critical actions. And these are bullet point how-tos. What we found when we did a survey of the business self-help category of books is many tell you to go out and do something, but they don't tell you how. And this goes back to access and belonging. It's really important to Adair and to me that we really walk people through how, so that we make these knowledge gaps visible and then make the how-tos accessible. And so people do feel empowered to immediately implement what they learn.
Yeah, and I love that, especially how you guys talk about how the skills cross over into different places. Like as a you know, shift worker, sometimes I don't think we realize how much we're triaging and looking to resources. And in our life, I think we do the same thing, right? Everyone has to prioritize what's important in their life. All of us look to what resources we have, whether that's money, time, or you guys specifically call out outsourcing tasks that don't, you know, bring you joy, or things that can be otherwise, you know, assisted with. And I think those were such good micro skills, or, you know, just tenets that you brought out in the book. I would love, because you guys have such a good focus on mentoring, hearing about kind of what is the advice that you have for the early career physicians who may be listening, whether they are shift workers 100% or whether they are, you know, blended careers with academics or admin or something special, like, you know, ultrasound or, you know, toxicology or something. Like, what's kind of the advice you guys have?
We, you know, get a lot of questions about what's our favorite micro skill and or what's our best piece of advice. And I honestly think it varies by the day what I say, but overall, that the best piece of advice I can give anyone, no matter what specialty or career they're in or stage of their career, it's to pause before you accept an opportunity. I was a full subscriber of the say yes to everything dogma that was really, I think, shoved down my throat early in my career, which was like, you know, as early as college, medical school, say yes to everything because you never know what you're going to miss. And, you know, you might have this great opportunity in front of you that you pass. And so you should always say yes to everything when you're early in your career and even later. And it took me a while to realize that sort of belief or practice can really lead to burnout or this like sense of overwhelm or feeling like you're just always behind on due dates and tasks and all these expectations that people have of you. And so it took a while, but there was this moment where I realized that I just needed to ask questions and find out more about an opportunity before I actually said yes. And asking questions when someone pitches you an opportunity can be as simple as just saying, you know, tell me more. Is there a budget? Who will I be working with? When is this due? How many hours will it be? Have you done this before? Or has anyone else on the team done this before? And the goal is not really to cause tension or to create conflict. It's just to expose the truth early on. Things that you're going to find out at some point in time anyway. Like, isn't it great to know early? And when you do this early research, it can really highlight if this is really a great opportunity for you or not. And, you know, I always tell my mentees, I do a lot of mentorship now at the medical school. I tell them, you don't have to say yes in the same conversation. You can go home, think about it. We talk a lot in the book about developing your personal board of directors and finding this like network of people. You can run ideas past them and they can weigh in. But just removing this like reflexive yes that many of us have, and we later regret signing up for something because we didn't really take the time to explore if it was the best fit.
I'd love to share a story. This just happened this morning. And this story alone illustrates about five micro skills that we talk about. One is on networking. One is exactly what Adair just shared about the pause. And another is about communication and boundaries and self-care. So a friend from medical school told me about an opportunity that was offered to her via her hospital, and she really didn't want to do it. And she actually had said yes, and then it fell through. It had to get rescheduled. So they circled back with her to reschedule it. And she was saying she really just didn't want to do it, but she didn't have the words. And one of the highlights, one of the many highlights, because I believe in the content of the book that Adair and I wrote, is we actually have diagrams, we have charts, and we actually give examples of what you can say and what you can write. So she had decided she no longer really wants to participate in this opportunity. And so she was trying to find out the words. And she said, don't you say somewhere in the book about words? And I said, yeah, it's under the chapter on micro skills for networking and realizing that a meeting is not a commitment. And so she said, yep, I found it, page 284. So essentially, she's mid to late career, is using this to help find the words to say no to an opportunity that is kind, that is respectful, that doesn't actually close off potential future opportunities, and also is able to introduce someone else to that opportunity. So it's realizing her network, realizing her boundaries, how to say kindly no and pausing before taking the opportunity, and also working on her polished communication. And so it was just like win, 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 win. And I love when we have these opportunities to show people where we tried to cover it, because what we say regarding this book is it's really, really, really comprehensive. We don't hit everything, but gosh, there's a lot in there. And you really have highlighted that we do think this speaks a lot to trainees and early professionals. However, I cannot tell you how many friends my age, and again, I stage myself as like mid to almost late career, keep circling back and finding the gems within it.
You highlight a couple important things, like saying no is sometimes harder than saying yes. And I think a lot of us suffer from, you know, FOMO, basically, right? Which is why we keep saying yes, but then we never learned to say no to projects that, you know, either we don't really want to do, or that we aren't the right person for, like we're not going to be set up for success on it. So I think this conversation has been just wonderful. I think as a, you know, someone who identifies as mostly early career, in, you know, helping establish what can an ER doctor do and think about earlier in the career. But how can people kind of connect with you guys? You guys have talked about mentoring a ton. We were talking before we were recording about some of the opportunities you guys offer. What can we do?
First, we are on all of the socials. So we are on Twitter/X, Instagram, LinkedIn. I do have a TikTok, though I don't use it. And just typing in our names, you'll find us, Adair Landry, Risa Lewis. And we also have our own personal websites. Again, if you just type in our names, AdairLandryMD.com, RisaLewis.com, RisaLewis. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then reach out to us. We have areas where you can email us. We are so interested in connecting with people and giving talks, workshops, and really just eager to hear your feedback on the book. So please, if you do read the book, write a review. We would love to sort of see how it resonated with you.
Awesome. Well, I super appreciate you guys taking the time to discuss out of your busy days. I hope, you know, this wasn't a time when you wanted to say no and ended up saying yes. But I loved the book. It resonated with me again as an early career, you know, physician, as a, you know, as a female in the business world. But the book is called Microskills, Small Actions, Big Impact by Dr. Adara Landry and Risa Lewis. So thanks again, you guys, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Special thanks again to Dr. Lewis and Dr. Landry for taking time not only to write their book, which is by ER doctors, for ER doctors, and also for the lay population, which is fairly unique, but also for taking the time to chat on our podcast and for their generous offer to discuss with other ER docs who are like-minded and looking for career development and helping to mentor there. Because as we saw, Dr. Lewis and Dr. Landry talked about how that is how their own relationship and their book blossomed. Now, this month we had our podcast only content, which I hope you enjoyed, but we have, as usual, plenty more in the ASAP Now magazine in your mailboxes and on the website at asapnow.com. Tweet us if you have an idea at ASAP Now, or feel free to tweet me direct at Amy Faith Ho for something to feature on the podcast or in the magazine. We would love to hear your thoughts and feedback and keep you tuning in. So thanks again, y'all, for joining us, and we will see you all next time.